Okay, so again, we're up to Perek Tes Zayin. Let's start again from Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches, Perek Tes Zayin. Tes Zayin Pasuk Ches. Hoidu Lashem Kiru Vishmo Hodiu V'Amim Alilosav. Now we begin. We begin the Mizmor. It's not. It's a collection of psukim which David HaMelech instituted that should be sung every single day in front of the Aron. Half shall be sung in the morning, and half in the afternoon, from Pasuk Ches through Pasuk Chaf Beis was the Mizmor, were the psukim that were to be sung in the morning, and from Pasuk Chaf Gimel through Pasuk Lamed Vav were the psukim that were to be sung in the afternoon. For how many years did they sing these psukim every single day? For 43 years. This is recorded in the Medrash Seder Olam. For 43 years. Different tables? Are these different tables?
A little longer. This table is longer.
New tables, okay. So they were So they were for 43 years. For 43 years, the Aron was situated in Ir David, in Yerushalayim, until the Beis Hamikdash was built by Shlomo HaMelech. At this point in time, the Mishkan, the Mizbech was located in Givon. We know Noiv, Givon, after Shaul killed Kohanim of Noiv, the Avodah was transferred to the city Givon. And that's where the Mizbech was, that's where the Kohanim, and we're going to see in great detail that later on in this parak, where David actually divided up the support that all of the Levim were sent to, well, not all, but a significant, special Levim were to serve in Ir David, in Yerushalayim, and take care of the Aron, and the Kohanim, there were no Kohanim left over in Ir David. All the Kohanim were sent to Givon to minister to the Mizbeach and the various Karbonas. Now here we get to something that's very interesting. Again, we have here these psukim starting with Pasuk Zayin through Pasuk Lamed Vav. This is a composition that David created, composed, that should be recited. This appears really in three different parts of Tehillim. Okay, all of the psukim here appear in... Let me just find the psukim. Give me 1 second. Three different sections of Tehillim, and the psukim are not the same. And being that they're not the same, it opens up a whole question: what exactly is David trying to do? Just 1 second, please. Okay, here it is. Okay, these psukim are very similar to what appears in Mizmar Kuf Hei, Mizmar Tzadi Vav, and Mizmar Tzadi Zayin, I think. Okay, we'll see. I will get confused. Tzadi Vav and Kuf. Rashi quotes some of these psukim as well, and Mizmar Kuf Vav. David has taken, now there's a very big debate, which came first? Are the psukim mentioned, because there are small differences, not small, there's some, there are differences between what appears here and what appears in Tehillim. Which one came first? Did this come first, and then David took what he composed here, Ir David, and then he changed it, he adapted it for the purpose of Sefer Tehillim? Or did David already have a Mizmor in Sefer Tehillim that was part of his original compositions, which would one day be put into Sefer Tehillim, and he took from there and he adapted it and put it over here and he instructed the Levim to sing this in front of the Aron every single day for 43 years. So that's a debate. There's no way of knowing. We really don't know. We don't have any rias either way, which one came first. But it's something very interesting to think about, because a lot of Tehillim is like that. A lot of Tehillim are not things that necessarily that David wrote and once. A lot of Tehillim are things that appear elsewhere in Tanakh or not necessarily composed by David, or composed by Avraham, or composed by Moshe, Tefillah LeMoshe, or composed by Korach and his children. So a lot of things in Tehillim were taken from events of the past, and were put together in a book called Sefer Tehillim. But it does not necessarily prevent us from suggesting that David went and took things that he already had packaged in Sefer Tehillim and took it, extracted it, and adapted it for an event that took place at a later point in time. And again, here we have no way of knowing. Yes, I just said. Either way, we don't know. Exactly, we don't know. We don't know which one came first. Now, the only major difference, the major focus between what's written here and what's written in Sefer Tehillim, and the way put everything in a nutshell, because a lot of the details are beyond me, but the theme that appears to differentiate between the way it appears in Tehillim and the way it appears in Divrei Hayom is, in Divrei Hayomim, it's in the present. David is trying, as we're going to see the psukim, we said every single day in davening, David is trying to take the themes that appear about the nations of the world acknowledging and recognizing the Kadosh Baruch Hu to now. It's not something which is going to happen in the future. Like we know, we're so familiar in davening, V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol haaretz b'yom ahu. It's going to happen on that day. When is that day going to come? Well, we don't know. We yearn for it. We don't know exactly when it's going to come, but it's going to come sometime in the future. That is the theme in Sefer Tehillim. David HaMelech in Sefer Tehillim is describing a series of events that Hashem has done for Klal Yisrael, which will lead to the ultimate Geula, and he tries to express that the day will come when the nations of the world will acknowledge that Klal Yisrael is a chosen nation, and Mashiach will come. Here, as is what the entire theme of Divrei Hayom is all about, is where David, we're trying to take these psukim and we're bringing it into the present. Mashiach is here right now in front of us. And that's the focus of Divrei Hayamim. It was a motivational book. People should want Mashiach to come at this very moment, and the nations of the world should acknowledge Mashiach is here, right here and now. Okay, that's one point. Okay, another thing to keep in mind, there's a difference between Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfarad. Nusach Ashkenaz, these psukim, Hoydu Hashem, all these psukim that we say, which really was originally broken up in the morning, half in the afternoon, for 43 years, is part of Psukei Dezimra. Nusach Svard has Hodu, all these psukim, really part of Korbanos. It's a continuation of Korbanos. And then, after you finish saying Hodu, then you first come to Baruch Shem, you first begin Psukei Dezimra. What is the difference? Why the difference in approach between Nusach Svar and Nusach Ashkenaz? So that touches upon something very interesting that appears here and in the last parak, and the next parakim, that there is a division. We spoke about this before Yom Tov. There's a difference between the Aron is now being separated from the Mizbeach. Traditionally, in the Mishkan, in the Midbar, and by Yisrael, the same place where the Aron is located is where the Mizbeach is located. The Aron is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and right outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the Mizbeach HaZov, and further out is the Azara. We have the Mizbeach HaNecheshes, or the Mizbeach HaShalavonim, which you bring the Korbanos every single day. It's all one and the same. Here we have something very unique where the Aron is located in Ir David, and the Mizbeach is located in Givon. In Givon, at the end of the parak makes it very clear, David sends off Tzadok and all of the Kohanim. And in Ir David, there are going to be just a collection of a few Levim that will do really nothing more than sing Shira. Now we do see there is some reference that they did bring a carbon in front of the Aron. Now the carbon they brought in front of the Aron every single day was not a carbon Sibur. That was like bringing a carbon on a Bama Ketana. When the Aron, when the Mizbech was in Givon, that was not the Mishkan, that was not the resting place. That's not what it says in the pasuk. When the Bama was located in Givon, it was a time of Heter Bamos. Every single person, if they wanted, can go to their backyard, build a little Mizbeach. The only condition the Mizbeach required was it should be perfectly square. should be a square, and didn't have any dimensions, nothing more than a square, and on that Mizbeach Avonim you can offer private sacrifices. And the Avod does not need to be done by Kohanim, by Levim, by firstborns. Anyone can bring a carbon on their backyard on what was called the Bama Ketana. That was only permitted during the time of Heter Bamos. When was the time of Heter Bamos? Only as long that was when during the time of Nova Givon. Only time it was also to bring a private carbon was during the 369 years of Shiloh, and afterwards the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. But in between Shiloh and Bayis Rishon and before Shiloh, the 14 years of Gilgal, it was mutter. So right now we are during the time of Heter Bamos. So even though we're going to see in the Psukim that they did bring Korbanos on a Mizbeach in front of the Aron, that is nothing more than a private Bama that does not have the status of bringing a Korban on the Mizbeach HaNechoshes or the Mizbeach Shalavon in the communal Korban Tamid Oila. It was a private. Therefore, what point do we want to make? That simply the song that's being sung here has nothing to do with Korbanos. And if you read the psukim on a very simple level, you would take these psukim and bring them into psuke de Zimra and remove them from the seder of Korbanos. Because when they're singing this song, they're singing Hodu. We have what we say here, and what we see over here in Divrei Hayom from Hodu from Pasuk Zayin to Pasuk Lamed Gimel is exactly what we say every single day. This song was sung in front of the Aron. It happened to be that when they sang this song, they also offered a carbon. So here's the dilemma. Does that mean that this Shira was sung as part of the Avoda of Korbanos? Or no? It was sung simply to give Shevach v'Hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It just so happens they also brought a carbon at this time to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the type of carbon that they brought in front of the Aron was not the carbon that the communal carbon, the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. Because that communal carbon, the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim, was offered not here in Ir David, but in front of the Aron, but was offered in Givon. So therefore, since the carbon they're bringing now is not a communal carbon, it's just a side carbon, and the only reason why they're singing this song is to give Shevach Vaidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose Shechina is resting upon the Aron, this song has nothing really to do with Korbanos. And therefore, Nusach Ashkenaz feels it's appropriate to remove this Shira of Hoidu LaHashem and part B, Shira LaHashem, Shira Chadash, extract it, take it away from the section of Tila of Korbanos and bring it inside after you say Baruch Sha'amar, after the Bracha you recite on Psukei de Zimra, to make this Shira part of the Shira of Psukei de Zimra. However, Nusach Svart, they have no choice but to acknowledge that the carbon that they offered was not the carbon Tamid Shel Shachar, but Tamid Shel Bein Harboim. But nevertheless, this Shira of Hoidu LaHashem and part B, Shira LaHashem Shir Chodosh, was recited together with the bringing of a carbon, which was offered in the vicinity of the Aron and Ir David on a Bama Kitana, and therefore Nusach Sfarad holds that is a significant enough to consider this Shira part of the Korbanos and not part of general song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we take this song of Hoidu LaHashem and Shir LaHashem Shir Chodosh and include it in the Seder of Korbanos. It's a very powerful Yisod. How often do we get a chance to focus on this concept? Let's review what we have, because this is something you're not going to come across often. Yeah.
The Shechina rested, you said, in the Aron and David. I assume the Shekhinah also rested in Givon.
Well, we don't know what Shekhinah is, so it's hard for us to understand what it's all about. Obviously, there had to be another degree of Shekhinah in Givon where the Kohanim was serving, right, where they were bringing Karbonis. Otherwise, you're not doing a Karbonis where the Shekhinah is not present. It's absolutely correct. So the Hashem is here, Hashem is everywhere. Right? Hashem is by the Kaisel, Amar Ravi, and Hashem is with you on the Q train. When you see someone saying Tilim on the Q train, the Shekhinah, and he's surrounded on one side by a Puerto Rican, the other side by an African American, the Shekhinah is there as well. Okay, it doesn't make a difference. The Shekhinah is all over. It's not a contradiction. But where is the ikur mokom hashuas hashchina? The ikur mokom hashuas hashchina is the place of the oron. So here, this is something we have to. We have now a much deeper appreciation to the difference between the Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Svard, where we take these Psukim Hoidu Lashem and Shulah Shir Chadash. Do we include them in the section of Korbanos? Do we include them in the section of Psukei Dezimra? We take note that we have a very unique period of time in the history of Klal Yisrael where the Oron and the Mizbeach are in different locations. The Oron is in Ir David, the Mizbeach and all of the Kohanim ministering to the Mizbeach are in Givon. There is a separation, a division of powers. And in Ir David, David composes this beautiful song, which is either adapted from what he wrote in Tehillim or Fakeret. David took Tehillim and he adapted from what he composed in Ir David. It's being said every single day for 43 years, from the day the Aron arrived in Ir David until Shlomo, his son, built the Bayis Rishon. Now, there's another big question, just going off on a tangent. There's another very big question: what happened afterwards? That's also a very big debate among the commentators. Did they stop? Well, they did not stop. The article says it's not known. We have no way of knowing what exactly happened. But the fact that we continue to say it Ahayom Hazeh would seem to indicate it was said every single day. Why would we continue to say it now if it was not said during the time of the Bayis Rishon Bayis Sheni? But maybe not. Maybe because we don't have, we have to yearn. So we say it. It's not known exactly what happened when the Mikdash was built, if they continued to say it, or they replaced it with the Shir Shel Yom that we say every single day after at the end of davening. But we have here a division. It's a very unique point in the history of Klal Yisrael, 43 years, where the two different parts of the Mikdash are divided. And in Ir David, they're singing this Shir LaHashem, Shir Chodosh with Hodu. And there also happens to be, they're also offering a Karban. Now it's a given. There's no room to play here. The Karban that they're offering in Ir David is not a Karban Sibur. It does not have the status of the carbon seal of the Beis HaMikdash, because that's Givon. That best, this is B'shas Heter Bamos, it's a Bama Ketana, it's a nice thing to do. We have the Aron, we're singing Shira, we're also going to bring a carbon, and we're going to sing Shira. That now becomes the big question between Nusach Svar and Nusach Ashkenaz. Oh, you're singing Shira, and you're also offering a Karban on a Bama Ketana. Does that mean the Shira primarily is a Shira on a Karban, which would then require us to take Hodu and put it in part of the Tefillah of Karbanos? Or no? The Ikar is to give Shira in front of the Aron. The carbon that they offer is completely secondary. That's not a factor which has any weight, carries any weight in determining what is the status of Hoidu and Shur Lashem. And therefore, what will Nusach Ashkenaz do? They're going to put Hoidu and Shur Lashem in Psukei de Zimra, not in the Seder HaKarbonos.
At the time of HaKarbonos, was there such a thing as a carbon sibur?
Yes, on the Bama Gedola, absolutely. And Givon. In Givon, every single day, Givon was the city where all the Kohanim lived, and that's where the Mizbeach HaNechoshes was, of the Mizbeach of Moshe, or maybe they made a Mizbeach of stone. It's not clear exactly what the Mishkan looked like in Givon. We have absolutely no records of what exactly the Mizbeach looked like in Givon, but that was the Bama Gedola. That's where all the communal sacrifices were offered.
They'd have to have
Tamid Shel Shachar, and Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim, and the Avod of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur for those 43 years. Where did they do the avodah Yom Kippur? They did it in Givon, absolutely. And any all the korbanos, the Rosh Chodesh and the Moadim and Shabbos, all of the Musafim were offered in Givon. There's a whole question. I don't know. I don't remember the details of a person brings the korban chatas. You go to Givon, I believe. I believe you bring personal korbanos. I don't remember the details. There are certain korbanos you can't bring, I think, in Givon. I don't remember the old details, but basic idea is in Givon, without question, is where all of the communal korbanos were offered, and everyone in their backyard can have a little bummer fun.
They say, in other words, they're making a separation.
Right, so what do they do?
They say Kaddish like we do after Karbonos.
Yeah.
And then they start holding.
So I guess the answer is because they're differentiating between the Karbonos Tzibur, a Shira, that one, it's a Shira of Karbonos Tzibur, and Karbonos that are not the Tzibur. Because everyone agrees the carbon that they brought by the Aron in Ir David for 43 years was not a carbon tzibor.
No, I understand, right. But I'm just saying it's not consistent.
It's not part of Psuki de Zimra, right. But it's in the middle. It's in the middle.
Rav Soloveitchik makes a distinction. And he just feels that they do it incorrectly, Nusukhsvar, that you're not allowed to say Hodu before Baruch Shama, because even to say Psukei de Zimra, you have to make a bracha like Berkas Hanan, and you have to say Baruch Shama and ask for permission to say it. So you have to say Hodu. That's why he says you're not allowed to say Mizmah Shechulukas Sabayas.
Because you make a bracha.
He cut out that.
From Ashkenaz also.
He said he doesn't say Mizmah Shechulukas Sabayas, you're not allowed.
Okay, different opinions. I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is a distinction. The hodu, it's part of korbanos, but it's not korbanos tzibur. It's korbanos of a bamas yochid that was set in honor of the aron.
Okay. I have in the school where they did minhag bagbet, and in the middle of Psukah de Zimra, they said kaddish.
In the middle.
That's
something. Which middle?
In other words, so maybe
saying Kaddish in the middle of Sukkot.
Could be.
In the middle.
That was the
basic.
Was
it a
Rabbani
Kaddish?
I have a sitter.
Okay.
Was it a
Rabbani Kaddish? So because it's a sitter, and it has Kaddish after that, without, and they don't do it.
You see, if it was a Kaddish Rabbani, it would make sense that it's part of Karbanis.
Okay, let's go through some of them very quickly. Now, the Rashis here, some of them are very difficult. We went through some of the Rashis before, we reviewed some of them again. And even in the art scroll, they say, we're not really sure what Rashi means. So, I never saw that before. But we'll do the best that we can. Okay, these are harp sukkim, and we sit every single day. Hoidu Lashem Pasuk Ches. We did it before. We're just going to run through it again very quickly. Hoidu Lashem Pasuk Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Ches. Hoidu Lashem Kiryas Shmo. Give thanks to Hashem. Call out in His name. Hodil Va'amim Alilosav. Make it known among the nations His deeds. The theme of these psukim, if we're going to assume that the Tehillim came first, the composition of the Tehillim came first, and these are extractions of what it says there, we're extracting psukim that have a global impact. That's the major theme. Hodiu va'amim. It's not just the shtetl. It's not just what's happening locally in the corner, in the shul. We're making a global statement. Make it known among the nations. Declare among the nations. We're going to see soon. Don't just focus on Avraham. Focus on the nation that came from Avraham. Klal Yisrael in reference to the entire world. Because that's the theme of Yemos HaMashiach. Yemos HaMashiach is a time when Klal Yisrael breaks out of their shell and is an Arlo Amin. Throughout Golis, many of our leaders have directed us just keep a low profile until Mashiach comes. What are you showing off? It's not yet the time, and don't go to fasta meruba loita fasta. But when Mashiach comes, we break forth and we change the entire world.
This is a message to the world.
Yes and no. It's a message here. The pasuk very clearly says, "Make it known among the nations." It's telling Klal Yisrael to break out of their shell and go out into the world.
So Klal Yisrael is the messenger to
us. Correct, that's right. Klal Yisrael is the messenger to the world, at least in this pasuk. Other pasukim we're going to have later on, we are speaking directly, Hashem is speaking directly to the world, or we are speaking directly to the world. But in this pasuk, the instruction is that we should go out into the world and let it be known, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's awesome deeds. Hoidu LaHashem, give thanks to Kiru B'Shmo, Hoidu, make it known. It's a command. Vo'amim.
How are we supposed to do that? Flyers?
Yeah.
Stations, radio spots?
Marketing. We'll bring in the marketing experts. It's a multi-billion dollar business. Marketing. Seminars. Seminars. Go on to the college campuses. Yes, everyone in their way. I mean, that's what Kiruv is. They talk about Kiruv Chaykim, just smiling, saying good morning. Everyone in their capacity. Everyone has a different reach, a different way of reaching out. How do you make it known, vo'amin, among the nations, alilosaf? Shirulo, sing to him, zamrulo, make music to Hashem, sichu b'chol nifliosaf, speak of all of his wonders. Pasik yud, hishalalu b'shem kodesho, glory. In other words, express glory in His holy name. Yismach lev, may the heart rejoice. Those mevakshe Hashem, those who seek out Hashem. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Dirshu Hashem v'uzo, seek out Hashem in His might. Bakshu fanov, seek out His presence. Tamid, continuously. Okay, pasuk Yud Beis. Zichru nifliyos Hashem. So remember His wonders. Remember the wonders that He has done. Now here is a difference between what it says. One of the here is a major difference between Tehillim and Divrei Hayamim. In Tehillim it says Zohar, He remembered. Zohar le'olam b'riso. It's reference to Avraham. Avraham always remembered what Hashem did. Zohar. No, I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead. I'm sorry. I'm jumbling ahead. Zichru nifliyosav asher asa. I take that back. That's going to be coming up further. Zichru pasuk yud beis. Zichru nifliyosav asher asa. Remember the wonders that He has done. Moivsav umish b'fiu. We're not going to do the rashi because we did these rashis already. Moivsav His wonders umish b'fiu and the laws of His peh. Zera. Now here we come to an important difference. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Zera Yisrael Avdo Bnei Yaakov Bichirov. The seed of Yisrael is His servant. The children of Yaakov are His chosen ones. In Tehillim it says Zera Avraham Avdo. So why the change between Zera Avraham to Zera Yisrael? The global reach. When you talk about Avraham, you're talking about an individual. An individual from whom later things, a nation came. Here, when we talk about Yisrael, Yisrael is in contrast to the Umos HaOlam. Klal Yisrael, in contrast to the nations of the world, are His servants. They are His chosen ones. Again, it's the global reach, the motivation factor, reach out to the world, bring Mashiach, Klal Yisrael, the time has come for them now to be in Or La'amim.
But that's also true of Abraham, who was...
Absolutely, but it is raised to the exponential power when you change from Abraham to Yisrael. Abraham is an individual. The Ashishim, we were 600,000 people in Klal Yisrael. It's a much greater impact. It's a global impact when you focus on Yisrael in contrast to what it says in Tehillim to Avram. Pasik Yud Dalet, Hu Hashem Elokeinu, He is Hashem Elokeinu B'chol Aretz Mishvatov. See here again, the same idea. I mean, these psukim in Tehillim, but it's important to note that these psukim are only a few of a larger perek. The whole perek there discusses many, many themes. We're extracting here 15 psukim from a much larger section. And the 15 psukim that we are extracting focus on the global reach. It focuses on us relative to the world. Here, this passage very clearly, He is Hashem Elokeinu, B'chol Aretz. although he's only our God, we acknowledge that Hashem's reach, Hashem's impact affects the entire earth. B'chol Aretz Mishpatov are his laws. Zichru li'olam b'risa, remember forever his bris. Davar tziva li'elof dar, this which he commanded for 1,000 generations. We learned Rashi, let's back and do it again. But in the Torah, the bris here refers to the bris of Torah. The Torah was created 1,000 generations before... before the creation of the world. It was given to Moshe, which was the 20. It was given to Avraham. Moshe.
26 generations till Sinai.
Moshe Rabbeinu was 26 generations from Briyas Olam. So that means the Torah was created 974 generations before Maisei Bereishis. That's what Rashi says. So Zichru, remember, Olam Brisos. So the Bris here refers to the Bris of Torah, Dovar Tziva Li Eleftar, Asher Karas Es Avraham, which he forged with Avraham, Ushvoso Li Yitzchak. Now with this going on in the future, what was Hashem kores? What was he kores with Avraham and with Yitzchak? Asher kares Avraham ushvoso liYitzchak v'bnei Yaakov l'chok liYisrael b'salam leimar pasuk yitches tells us what bris, what Hashem was kores with Avraham and the shuot Yitzchak v'ayamidech liYaakov l'chok as a law liYisrael b'salam leimar l'chok attain to you will give Eretz Canaan chevel nachlaschem the lot of your inheritance. Hashem promised to give to the avos Eretz Yisrael. Now, what's very interesting, I don't remember all the details, is that nowhere in the Torah do we know explicitly where HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the land to Yitzchak. It doesn't say that anywhere. Hashem told Yitzchak that I'll give to you what I promised Avraham. Okay, this requires more research. I don't have the source in front of me, but we have in the Torah many times Hashem promised Eretz Yisrael to Avraham. We have Pesukim where Hashem promised to Yaakov. But Yitzchak, it doesn't explicitly say in the Torah where Hashem says to Yitzchak, I'm going to give you the land. Hashem says to Yitzchak, I'm going to fulfill to your children what I promised your father. Yes. Yitzchak is the conduit between Avraham and Yaakov. He never received a special promise. I'm giving the land to you and your descendants.
He never left, which is a distinction between them.
Okay, he never left. An oila tzvima, Yitzchak never left. But it's difficult what that means, what the pasuk here says. The pasuk here says, Sher karas es Avraham, ushivu aso, in his oath li Yitzchak. What exactly does that mean? So it means that the oath that Hashem made to Yitzchak in reference to what he previously promised Avraham. Hashem promised Avraham, ki bi Yitzchak yikari l'cha zara, and they will inherit the land. Hashem reinforced this promise to Yitzchak, but not directly to him. Hashem did not say to Yitzchak, you Yitzchak, I'm giving you a gift. And the gift I'm giving you, you will bequeath to your children. No, I already gave the gift. I gave already the gift to your father Avraham, and I'm making a shvua that will be true. It will come true. But I'm not making anything new. But Yaakov, Hashem made a new gift. Hashem said, I'm giving you the land. Okay, I have to show you the psukim inside. It's a very interesting idea of what this pasuk exactly means. Asher karas as Avraham. We have different expressions. Asher karas as Avraham. Avraham, it was a bris. Krisas bris. Karas means to cut into two parts. When you make a treaty, you take something and you break it into two parts. You take a whole, like they use to take animals, and the two parts, the animal is broken into two parts, and you walk in between the animal. That symbolizes that we are one, we are part of this unit, we are in this together. And then we have here Yaakov and Yisrael. Vayamidecho liYaakov l'chok liYisrael b'ris olam leimu l'chotin eretz k'non chevel nachlaschem. Pasuk Yutes. Now we have some Jewish history. B'yoschem is same as bar when you were small in number. Kimat v'garim ba. When you were living in the land, you were ma'at means small amount, and you were just garim. You were strangers. You did not yet possess the land. There's a grammatical something very interesting with the word kemat. You do not need the word chof. The correct word is ma'at. If the pasuk would have been written beyoschem is same as spar ma'at vigarimba, you would not blink. So why is there kemat? So the Mefarshim discussed that some say this is a matter of style. Others say that the chof is a emphasis. It means you were as few as can possibly be. Had you been one less, then you would have dissolved. Chof means, that doesn't just mean few. You know, you could have a few, a million people can be a few. Today in the world, you have a nation that has only a million citizens. Oh, that's a small nation. They're just a few people. Because relative to India, relative to the United States, relative to China, there are a few. But a million people is a few. It's all relative. When it says you're kimat, it means few, and don't compare. Not relative. It means literally you can count them on your finger. How many people originally lived in Eretz Yisrael? 70 souls. Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, how many people went down to Mitzrayim before they left Eretz Yisrael to go into Mitzrayim to Golis? 70. 70 is not me'at. 70 is kimat. A million is me'at. 300 million people in the United States. How many people are there in India? How many billion people are in India? 1 billion. How many people live in China? How many people live in China?
One six in China,
1.1
in India.
India, I don't
find that. So America is ma'at. So America only has 300 million, right? So America is ma'at. But Klal Yisrael were not 300 million. They were 70. They were kimat. That's an interesting thing. See, this is davening every single day. It's a very interesting idea. The chaf means very, very small. Vigarim ba pasuk chaf. Vayisalchum migoy al goy umimamlocha elam acher. Hashem caused us to travel from one nation to another nation, from one kingdom to another kingdom. This refers really back to Avraham before the 70 souls. This refers to Avraham. Avraham traveled to a Mitzrayim, and then Avraham traveled to Pelishtim. Right, Avram, during the famine, he went to two different nations, to Egypt and among the Pelishtim, Avimelech. Yitzchak also went to Avimelech. Yitzchak also, because of the famine, he went to Gerar. He went to Avimelech. He did not go to Mitzrayim, Yitzchak, but he went to Pelishtim. And Yaakov went to Lavan. Went to Lavan, Aram Naharayim. So that's what the pasuk over here means. Vayisalchu migoy el goy Mitzrayim, Plishtim to Lavan, umimamlocha elam acher to another nation. Lo hiniach leish leyashkin. I don't know if it's a joke or it's a serious thought. And this pasuk refers to the goals of Klal Yisrael throughout history. Throughout our history, there are 48 masos. The 48 masos, the Midbar referred to all different stops Klal Yisrael took us, all different in the history throughout Golis. We've traveled from one country to another country, Rome, Poland, Spain, all the European nations, we've been all over the world. And where is the last stop? The last stop in Golis is America. America is called the Am Acher. It's a democracy. In a democracy, it's always acher. Whoever wants
has a negative
what? Well, I don't know. It's negative. It's in the land of opportunity.
Who was the they called him the acher?
What? Mayor.
Mayor.
But in America, you can loosely translate America. It's not my fault. This is not what it is. I'm acher. Anyone who once works hard enough can rise to power and can possess the land. It's a fact. It's a tremendous bracha. That's a tremendous bracha of democracy. Democracy leads to America. You can be an acher. You can be an immigrant. You don't have to be born into nobility. You don't have to be born of yichus. You work hard, you become, you can possess, you can become, you have a stake in the land. It's an am acher. This is a reference to the Golis of Klal Yisrael. We travel, we've gone through many kingdoms until we've come to the last stop. The last stop is El Am Acher, which is the Golis in America. And throughout this long, what?
Who's thought that?
It's an old thought. It's percolating in my mind.
No, we've been going west. We've reached the end of the world.
Lo hiniach le'ish le'yashkam. during this period of time, Hashem did not allow an ish. Hashem did not allow an ish l'oshkam to oppress them. Vayochach aleihem lachem, Hashem rebuked on their behalf kings. Al tigubim shichoi, do not touch my anointed one. Uvin viyai al turim, do not touch my prophets. Okay, there are a lot of references to these referred to. We're going to, let's turn to the psukim now, and tomorrow we'll come back and focus on some of them in more detail. Let's run through. Okay, so that concludes the first half of the Shira. All of these psukim that we read from Pasuk Ches through Pasuk Habeis were recited every single day for 43 years in the morning in front of the Aron. Now we begin the next section. Shiru LaHashem Kol Aretz. This is a declaration, the entire earth shall bring forth song. Basru declare, miyom el yom, Yeshua, so daily his salvation. Sapu vagoyim es kvodo, the nations shall relate his honor. Bechol ho'amim nifli Yosef, among all the nations his wonders.
We will relate to the nations.
Sapu vagoyim, relate among the nations. Sapu vagoyim.
We who tell it among the
okay.
nations.
We who tell over among the nations, as kavodo b'chol ha'amim among all the nations, nifli osav, ki gadol Hashem umihulol meod, he is exalted, v'noiro hu al kol Elohim, and he is awesome over all Elohim. That refers to the constellations, refers to the mazalos. All Elohim means powers. Elohim, advar Elohim yavo, ad Elohim yavo dvar shnehem. Person has a dispute with his friend. Where do you go? You go to court. Elohim is a term that is a secular term, according to some, means an authority. Authority. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exalted in the Ruach who I'll call Elohim over any authority in this world, whether it be an authority of constellations, a mazel, that's also an authority. A person is born with a predisposition to do certain things, to succeed or to fail certain ways. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above and beyond that. And certainly when it comes to an authority that is created here on this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above any man-made authority. Yeah?
Yeah. It seems to me that the previous psukim, leading up to this, were choosing us for a mission. And now,
okay.
Now we have a mission statement.
Okay, this is the mission statement. Passed from Chav Gimel until the end is okay, that's an idea. Let's just run through the psukim very quickly. Ki, and then tomorrow we'll discuss some of the ideas, some of the midrashim, some of the rashis. Ki kol elo hey ho'amim elilim v'Hashem shmai maso. All of the gods of the nations are elilim, are idols, they're nonsense. V'Hashem shmai maso. You're supposed to pause. Some of the good siddurim, they have a pause. They have a hefsek, v'Hashem, do not say, shnach Hashem, read Elilim into the next word, into Hashem, but rather, v'Hashem, shamayim osa, hod v'hodol lefanov, oz v'chedv b'mkamo, there is beauty, there is splendor before him, there is might and joy in this place, havul Hashem mishpachos mem, give, havul means to give. What should you give to Hashem? So that is answered in the next pasuk. But first we just have an instruction. Havul Hashem mishpachosimim. The families of the world shall give to Hashem. What shall I give? The pasuk answers. Havul Hashem kavod va'oz. Give to Hashem honor and might. Declare that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the power, the oz, the might of the world. Havul Hashem kavod shmo. Give to Hashem, and the pasuk repeats itself, there's a poetic pasuk. Havu Hashem kavod shmo. Give to Hashem honor. Honor his name. Su mincha, lift up a meal offering, a gift. Uvohu lefanov, and come before Hashem, bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu gifts of sacrifices. Hishtachvu l'Hashem, bow before Hashem, b'hadras kodesh, in his splendorous, in his holy splendor. Bahadras Kodesh. Fear before him, all the entire earth. Aftikon Tevo Baltimod. Hashem has established the earth that it will not falter. So that's a promise. It's a promise the earth, all the scientists today tell us that before we turn around, this is a response. This pasuk has been quoted, I've seen this, it's been quoted in some of the Jewish response to global warming and to all of these concerns that the earth is dying. The earth, the environment is dying, all of these studies. We need not worry because we say every single day in davening, this pasuk, Chilu milufanov kolorets av tikon tevel. Hashem has established the earth Baal Timot, so that it will not falter. Hashem promises the earth will outlive man. You need not worry that the environment is going to, I mean, we're destroying it, that's another thing, I don't know, but don't say, one thing is certain, don't say that the earth naturally will just decay, the atmosphere will dissolve, and the earth will crumble. It's not so. It says here,
while we're on it, that's not. While we're here. Yeah, but in other words, they're projecting
billions of years.
Okay.
We're not going to be around. Okay.
Yeah, we can worry about that.
Yes, the cold.
Aftikon tevel baltimot. Yismichu. Now, this pasuk, okay, we have a lot of things to discuss. We have to just, because we won't run through today. Yismichu Hashemayim v'sagel aretz. This is one of the most important psukim. Why? Because this pasuk is the code for Hashem's name. Yudke Vavke, the most important shame, Hashem has many names, Yudke Vavke, Elohim, Adnus, and all these fancy names that you see in the article, Machzar, and the Yom Neroim, all these other things, but the most basic name that appears in the Torah over and over is Yud He, followed by a Vav He. What's the code for Yudke Vavke? This pasuk. Yismichu Hashamayim V'sogel Aretz. The first letters of these four words spell out Yudke Vavke. And there's a lot of Torah. We know that Hashem's name is divided into parts. There is Kiyod Al Keis Ko. Ko is Yudke. And then we know what happened to the last two letters. The last letters, the Vavke is missing. Why is the Vavke missing? Because Bizman Hazeh, because of our sins, it's only Yismichu Hashamayim. The Shechina has left us. The Shechina has gone to the heavens. There is a defect in Visogel Haaretz. The earth does not appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way it should, because Hashem has separated His Shechina and returned it to the heavens. There's a break between Yismichu Hashamayim and the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on by the people of this world, the Sogel Arts. That's what we say every single day, L'Shem Yichud, those who say L'Shem Yichud, L'Yached Shem Yud Kei B'Vav Kei. The goal is to unify the Yud Kei with the Vav Kei. B'Yichuda Shalim, a perfect unification. What does that mean? It means bring back together Yismichu Hashamayim together with Visogel Haaretz. Hashem, there is joy in the heavens. That's where the Shechina is. From the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the Shechina went back to Shamayim. But there is no joy in this world. We have to once again bring the two together to the Meshadech Yismichu Hashamayim with the Sogel Haaretz.
That's what we say in the Kiratza. Right? There's that phrase. Liyachei Shem
Yudkei Bivavkei.
Bivavkei. Yehuda
Shlim. A perfect unification. Bring back together the Yismichu Hashamayim together with the Sogel Haaretz. The Yom Vagoyim, and may the nations declare Hashem Moloch. Hashem is the King. Again, the global directive, bring Mashiach. It's not just for us. Yiram Hayam Molo, let the sea roar and everything that's inside the sea. Let the field exult and all of the different trees and vegetables and fruits that are found in the field. Oz Yiraninu Atzei Hayar, the trees of the forest will sing. Hashem Kiva, because he has come. Now, that concludes really one section. Now the next psukim, Hoidu LaHashem Ki Tov, is an entirely different theme. And we'll discuss this more Mir Tashem tomorrow, but now we go to another section. And again, it's part of what we say in the afternoon. This is taken from a different Mizmor in Tehillim, and it's a general declaration. Give thanks LaHashem Ki Tov Ki Li'olam Chasto, the Imru, and the clear Hoshi'ei. Now here it's not really clear why we say this pasuk. It's a reference to save us from Golos. and declare Hoshienu, save us, Elokei Yeshenu, the God of our salvation, the Kabetzenu, gather us, the Hatzilenu, and save us, Min HaGoyim, from the nations, so that, Lehodos, Leshem, Kodshechu, we can give thanks to your holy name, Lehishtabeach, and we can glory, Besilasech, in your praise, we can glory ourselves, we can, in declaring your praise. So what's going on here? If until now we're dealing with redemption, Geula, Yimos HaMashiach, why now are we focusing on Golus? We are past Golus. The Geula, we're going backwards. We're backsliding. Yeah.
Before Melech, could be thinking in the present tense where there were constantly wars and.
So that's the question. What's going on? Because we'll discuss this tomorrow. It's just to bring out the point. Then we have one last pasuk of the Shira Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael. This is always a conclusion. When you conclude, just like when you conclude up Sugi de Zimra, you finish off with Yishtabach. Here we have what's a concluding bracha. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam, from this world, the ad ha'olam, until the next world, from olam hazeh through olam haba. V'yomru cholam, and let all the people respond, Amen. Kel melech neman v'halel Hashem, give praise to Hashem. So we have here, that concludes the Shira. The Shira really is three parts. Part one was recited in the morning, part two and part three was recited in the afternoon for 43 years. Part one is Hashem has selected us. Part two is our mission statement. And then part three is a little bizarre. And the Mepharshim, they're very vague, they're very disturbed. Part three, why then is David going back and giving thanks to Hashem and says to Hashem, save us from Golus, save us from the Goyim. And then he concludes with a bracha and directs everyone to answer Amen v'Hallel Hashem. I think Rashi says, we'll see this tomorrow, is because it could be that David realized that Klal Yisrael is not, they're not up to it. David HaMelech, when he composed this at the time of Ir David, when he's coming to build the Bayis Rishon, he succeeded in transferring the Aron from Kiryas Yarim to Ir David. He's now going to build the Beis HaMikdash, and he declares, this is it, this is the purpose of creation, to bring Mashiach, to build the Beis HaMikdash, to bring Mashiach. This is our mission statement. And then he realizes, you know what, I'm looking around in the room, I see you're just not up to it. You're just not up to it. The people here just don't get it. There's going to be a long galus until the mission is complete. I had great hopes for Klal Yisrael. There's always this cycle of failure. This attempt. Let's bring Mashiach. David here is doing it when he's building the Bayis Rishon. He's laying out the foundation. I've succeeded in coming to the place Asher Yivcha Hashem Elokecha L'Shakein Shemo Sham. Ir David, here is the Aaron's final resting place. Let's build the Beis Hamikdash. Let's tell the world V'Hoya Hashem L'Melech Al Kol Aretz Bayomahu Yeh Hashem Echad Shemor Echad. And he gets these blank faces from the people that he's looking at. You're not ready for this. You're not ready for this. Chaval. You know what that means? That means the Mikdash will be destroyed, there will be galus, there will be a lot of tsaris, and until the mission will be complete, it will take 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years, and therefore in the meantime, Hashem, we're going to need a lot of help. That's, I think, really the basic mussar in what's happening. Okay, so we'll go back to these psukim tomorrow. We're not going to read them again inside, but we'll go through the ideas that are hidden here tomorrow.